Welcome to the Well One Connection, a podcast from Huron Regional Medical Center. The right care is right here.
On this episode of the Well One Connection podcast, I have the pleasure of speaking with Dr. Tina Melanson and Jennifer Youngeman, who is an RN and the director of our dialysis department here at HRMC. Dr. Melanson, we'll start with you. You are a nephrologist with Prairie Lakes Healthcare System in Watertown, but you see a fair number of patients here in Huron and take care of our dialysis unit as our medical director.
Yes, I'm Dr. Tina Melanson. I'm the kidney doctor that lives out of Watertown. I was born and raised in Watertown, graduated from high school there. I did my medical school training in Vermilion at the University of South Dakota, and did my fellowship out in Vermont, but we moved back to South Dakota, and I've worked in South Dakota for my entire medical career. We moved to Watertown about 13 years ago when the job in Sioux Falls just got to be too much for my growing family at that time, and I really enjoyed working with Prairie Lakes. We picked up the Huron outreach when Dr. Jensen and Dr. Georgiev had retired and gave up that outreach around 2015 or 16, and so we have been coming doing outreach clinic here in HRMC at least once a month, but more consistently twice a month when the weather is nice. And we're busy, we're full every time we're here, and we see new patients in Watertown and try to do all of our follow-ups here. If people can't get to Watertown, that's okay. We're very busy here, so our schedule is tight, and to get people in faster, sometimes it's easier to bring them to Watertown. We manage the dialysis unit, and between me and my team, one of us sees the patients about once a week at that point, and that's the goal of care. It just increases the continuity of care. It helps us keep in touch with their primary care providers, who are always involved in their care, even for mostly for non-dialysis related problems. And I think that we do a good job of keeping things very thorough and comprehensive for them.
We're thrilled to have you here, and you serve such an important purpose in our community. Glad to have you as a partner here for so many years now. And Jen, you have been the director of our dialysis unit for, oh boy, is it 3 years
now? It is
now?
3 years now, yes.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about yourself. I know we've chatted with you a little bit throughout our most recent renovation and expansion, but just tell us about you.
I'm Jennifer Youngeman. I was born and raised in Woolsey, so about 5 miles north of Woolsey on a farm. We currently live out there on that same farm and raise sheep while we all work in town as well. So we do keep a busy lifestyle.
And you had not been in the community, but you'd been away being a nurse, correct? And came back here, and you were a nurse for a while and then grew into this leadership role. So it seems like I've seen such a cool transformation in your passion for kidney health as you've become the dialysis director and really started to work with these patients and have really carried so many of our initiatives forward with kidney health in our community. And the reason we're chatting with you two today is it is National Kidney Month. And actually today, so people will hear this a little bit later, but today is World Kidney Day. So a perfect day to sit down with the two of you and chat. For those people who might not have anyone in their family, or maybe they haven't dealt with any kidney issues, what does kidney health mean? Why do we need a month? What are the very basics, and what do our kidneys do for us?
Chronic kidney disease is actually a very prominent chronic medical condition, and most prominent in people who have a history of diabetes or high blood pressure. And the sad fact is that there is a large population of people that do not know that they even have chronic kidney disease if they're not being tested. And the reason that is because in most cases, there are no symptoms of chronic kidney disease until it's very advanced. And when things are very advanced, at that point, there's really no preventative measures that can be taken. It all becomes preparing for kidney replacement therapy, which is dialysis and transplant. And kidney disease should be mostly a preventable condition, and the sad fact is that it's not, because there are millions of patients who are seeing a nephrologist and hundreds of thousands on dialysis, thousands on the waiting list for kidney transplant. And the bottom line is there's a shortage of kidney transplant organs. It's tight getting into dialysis units. These treatments are not readily available in all communities just because of it takes specialty care that is not always available in smaller communities. And it's a situation where you are way better off if you diagnose the kidney disease early rather than getting to the point where you need renal replacement therapy and need higher level of care.
Sure. So we are blessed to be able to have these services in our community because we are a small rural community. Mm-hmm. But for those of us who maybe are not, hadn't been as aware of that, are there things that we can do ourselves to bring up with our primary care providers and to maybe ask for some additional screenings? Or how can we be really careful in monitoring our kidney health so we don't end up in a situation like that?
The most important risk factor for chronic kidney disease is type 2 diabetes mellitus, type 1 diabetes as well, so diabetes in general. And usually that's diagnosed 5 years at least minimum, usually closer to 10 years before you might see some signs of diabetic kidney disease. But unfortunately, many people have diabetes for years before they're formally diagnosed and treated. High blood pressure is a common risk factor for chronic kidney disease, and between those two diagnoses, that's almost 75% of our patients on dialysis. In addition to that, age greater than 65 is a risk factor. So anybody who's 65 or older, or anybody who has one or both of those other conditions, should most definitely be screened at least once a year, starting at 5 years after diagnosis. Another big risk factor for kidney problems is a family history of chronic kidney disease. So if you have one direct relative who has had chronic kidney disease, you also should be screened. And then there are some obvious hereditary conditions that you would know before you had chronic kidney disease, that you have either you're born with a kidney condition that's going to be worse over time. But that is really a very small minority of my practice. In most cases, it's chronic medical conditions that, had they been better managed, the patient would not get to the point of dialysis.
So if maybe I have one or two of those risk factors, when is it time to see a nephrologist? Is it good to bring that up with my primary care provider so that we can talk about that when I might know that it's the right time for me to seek out nephrology care?
I would recommend always bringing that up with your primary care provider and starting there, because they're basically the director of your ship and they tell you which direction you need to go. And I always tell people, start with your primary care provider, tell them, first of all, your risk factors, which most of them are well aware of. But second of all, if you have concerns, because the screening tests for chronic kidney disease are so simple and they're very cheap and cost effective, that if you're even concerned, most insurance companies will pay for basic lab, which includes a urine test, a urinalysis, and a basic metabolic panel, which is a simple blood test that most people, if they're seeing the doctor, have had one done randomly here or there.
Okay, that's great to know, and good to know that it's okay to bring those things up to your primary care provider, because sometimes I think we just wait for them to say something. But that's why we have these months, and that's why we're chatting with you, so that people can go ask those questions. You had chatted about the fact that eventually, sometimes this goes too far and it leads to dialysis. You spoke about rounding on our dialysis patients here in our community. You've been seeing them for a very long time here. We recently had our renovation and expansion of our dialysis unit. How has that helped? This has opened both of you. What changes have you seen in the care of our patients in our community? I think it'll be really good for those people who saw this happening. Maybe they supported this project. What has changed?
I'm going to just start, because I actually worked for several years in the old dialysis unit, and it was a really dreary space. It was very outdated. There were no open windows to outside. And so I felt that even though it was on the main floor, just steps within walking into that one entrance to the hospital, I felt it was very isolated. And the patients in the unit do feel isolated. The other problem is that it was a small enough unit where the chairs were close enough together that when you have to have very serious private conversations with patients, it's almost impossible to have that while they're on the dialysis machine. And what people don't understand is that committing to dialysis is a huge time commitment. It's the time that they drive to come to the dialysis unit. It's a preparation to start the dialysis machine, including placing needles in their arm to get the dialysis going. And then it's the actual treatment time itself. And then there's some time for care after dialysis, plus the drive home. So the last thing they want to do is to have a private conversation for an hour in another room, because they're here long enough already. And some of our patients try to work in addition to that also. I felt like there was no privacy in that unit. The most privacy we got was close the curtain, but that's not impenetrable to people who are sick next to you or conversations that need to be had. So I just felt like we really needed some kind of light and some modernization, and the feeling that the community is keeping up with larger facilities that are really trying to stay modern in their care.
Yeah. And so you talked, and for people who may just not know, you talked about that dialysis taking that huge amount of time in a day, but that's just not one day a week either. So they're doing this three times a week.
Exactly.
So it really becomes a job for them.
It is a job for them, and it's a commitment, because if you're not going to commit to the time requirements and the diet restrictions, then dialysis will not go well for those patients.
So they have a significant investment in their care mm-hmm. as well. And then in addition to that, I know, Jen, you dealt with, sometimes we had water failures and we didn't have a backup system. And so then all of a sudden we're scrambling. And you, Dr. Melanson, had mentioned that it's really hard for people sometimes to get into dialysis. Not only have we upgraded our water system, but we also expanded our capacity. What has that done? I know at first we didn't have the extra patients right away. What has happened since then, and how do you feel about having that automatic backup system for water?
Yes, that has gone tremendously well. We have increased the number of patients that we are able to see on a regular basis now. When the old facility, we had to operate 6 days a week to dialyze the same amount of patients that we currently are. Now we are doing that same thing in a 3-day period. So we're able to do the work that we did before, but much more efficiently also. The other thing that I see is that patients are happier coming to this unit. They don't have to do the hike up the hill, especially this time of year when the weather can get icy and cold and slippery. So they really appreciate that. And it's just a friendlier place for everybody involved.
Yeah, it's great to walk in there and see patients thriving in that new, clean, spacious atmosphere. We really have appreciated our community support in doing that too. We've also talked about dialysis not necessarily being a super money-making proposition, which, Dr. Melanson, that's why you don't see them in every community, because it's difficult to keep those going. And so when you can only have staff for 3 days a week as opposed to 6 days a week, that certainly helps in that balance, right?
Correct.
Yeah, and then we're still able to care for more patients than we were before. So something that has happened since we've been in the new unit, which is really exciting for us, is we have received a new star designation from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid. We've received a 5-star rating, which is the highest rating that you can receive. Tell us about that a little bit. Dr. Melanson, I liked how you said it's like a hotel.
It's basically like you're clicking online and rating your hotel stay. But in addition to the patient satisfaction about being in the dialysis unit, it also includes hard data, which includes our outcomes and how we're doing as far as how often people get sick or end up in the hospital, and then how we do with our labs, which we have goals to reach every month, compared to other facilities.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And then there's a reason, right? It doesn't just happen. We don't just go, gosh, I hope we get 5 stars this time. You've worked really hard. Your staff has worked really hard at meeting those quality measures in order to increase that rating. So what are some things that you have done, or some things that you've seen in that data, or some projects that you've done or quality initiatives that have really contributed to that?
So I see that our patients are being treated by staff that have been doing 5-star care for a long time. I don't think that the star rating is just a new thing. I do believe that they've been offering it for many years in the past as well. The difference is that CMS also sets up, as she said, different quality standards that we meet. So labs, types of access, transplant list, things like that. And what we're seeing now is we're seeing that not only is our staff providing that excellent care at the bedside or chairside, but they're also then reporting that appropriate data to CMS as they should. So you're getting that all reported to CMS, and you're getting patients in to get the appropriate accesses that they should receive in a timely manner, and you're getting then any immunizations that are done reported back to CMS in a timely manner as well. So mainly just making sure that you're seeing everything from start to finish, ensuring that we're getting that 5-star rating then.
Great. Congratulations to both of you and your teams on that, because it is a big accomplishment and it was really exciting. I think that there are only a couple in the state that have received that. So it's a really big honor, and we're proud to say that you've done that. When you mentioned transplants, I wanted to end there, but I feel like that's really important to talk about, because Dr. Melanson, you've seen a lot of transplants through and from just our small community here in the last couple years. Is that kind of a testament to obviously the commitment of the patient, but also the way that the dialysis program here has been able to see them through to transplant?
Oh, absolutely. We have guidelines as far as trying to minimize wait times and trying to maximize the number of patients that are on the list, but not just on the list, but active on the list, which means when they're active, they're able to actually receive calls to have a donor for them. And our social workers are highly trained in making sure that we're targeting the right people that fit the criteria to be on the transplant list. I think some of it happens also just in the clinic and the outreach clinic, where we're trying to make sure that patients get referred for transplant even before they need dialysis. Because the way the criteria stands now to get a deceased donor kidney transplant, the transplant team has to deem that you are fit enough and compliant enough to actually get an organ donor. And if you can accomplish that before you start dialysis, it's to your advantage, because the waiting list for deceased donors is 5 to 7 years. And even I've seen even longer than that, unfortunately. Just in the last couple weeks, I've got several patients who have been on the list longer than that. And what happens is, if you don't have that process in place before they start dialysis, then they can back time their first day on the waiting list to their first day on dialysis, even if they're not on the list at that time, even if they haven't been seen by the transplant program at that time. But they could have wasted a couple of valuable years. And I think that helps. We have more awareness in the clinic that we're doing that as well. Because you can have stage 4 kidney disease, not on dialysis, and still be referred for a transplant.
Okay, yeah, that's great to know when you're helping them through that, because mm-hmm. I can't imagine knowing how to navigate that. So another important factor of having that care right here in our community, so that they're able to access that care with you and get on that list right away if they need to do that.
The other important thing I think for the community to know is that the way to avoid that 7-year wait list is to increase the awareness of the need for living donors. Because frankly, people who get living donor kidneys, they don't need to be related. Those kidneys overperform over any deceased donor. And I think that's more of the answer than people waiting on dialysis to get a transplant for years. We know that people that are on dialysis for longer don't do as well even after they get a transplant. The goal is to minimize dialysis. Dialysis is really meant to be a bridge for better treatment, which would be transplant. So I think awareness in the community that we really need to ramp up the people in the neighborhood that are willing to consider donating this gift of life for somebody.
Yeah, absolutely. And there are definitely resources out there for that. We can certainly put some of those in the link to this podcast so that people can click on those and go read about those available, the options to donate, be a living donor. And then also, of course, just to sign up on the donor registry as well.
The providers in this community, I think, do a really good job of referring early, more so than some of my other outreach clinics. This is by far my busiest outreach clinic. And so I think that's a testament to some awareness that's out there. And I know Jennifer's been involved in some education programs and such, and that's what we need. So
yeah,
you have a really unique little gem here in the Huron community, and that extends to Redfield and Miller and the area around, mm-hmm. because really the providers do a good job of early recognition. And that's when we can actually help people more, is when you diagnose early. That's where we introduce preventative measures or slowing progression measures. When they're already very advanced, really there's nothing I can do to delay things from getting worse. It's really preparing for what is already worse. So that's early awareness is important.
Yeah, that's great to know, and good to know that those providers are doing that, but can increase that awareness as well with patients, so that if their provider might not do that, you can certainly have that awareness yourself. So.
Exactly, and that's why I always advocate your patients. If you have a question, just ask your providers. The grand majority of them are going to be open to you asking questions because they want you to be involved in your care.
Absolutely. We're super thankful to have both the dialysis services here in our community and to have the nephrology clinic brought right here home to people, so that they don't have to necessarily travel all the time and they can access that care they need. Certainly appreciate both of you sitting down with me today, and happy World Kidney Day.
Thanks for listening to the Well One Connection. This podcast is informational only and not intended to replace the advice of your healthcare provider. Huron Regional Medical Center, online at huronregional.org.